Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortas Institute. Perhaps you've noticed Christians aren't looked upon as favorably as we once were, and we're determined to not retreat in the face of persecution, taunting, legislation that makes life harder for Christians to speak the Bible. I'd like to invite you to join us in our Spring Matching Gift Campaign. No retreat. We are determined to stand firm, and we are inviting you to stand firm with us. We will continue to make as many and more resources as we currently do because we are determined to see our King exalted. And if that matches your heartbeat, would you kindly consider joining us as a gospel partner? Your gift is doubled right now. You can learn more and join us at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
What is?
What is?
What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I am your host. And today we're talking about biblical counseling and missions. I'll just be candid with you. I am extremely passionate about missions, and I see a changing culture of young people that care too much about stable incomes instead of seeing the glory of God go out to the nations. I'm not a man who's good at reserving myself. I typically go all in. So when I see others that are hesitant to go make Christ's glory known, it doesn't always even make sense to me. Today's episode, I want to connect some dots for you, and it'll actually lend itself to two episodes with a call to action, which is, have you ever thought about biblical counseling as a mechanism to reach the nations? Remember, biblical counseling is a mechanism. It is not the end in of itself. Piper said these famous words in the 90s. He said, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. The same thing could be said of biblical counseling. It exists because worship does not, or it's unclear how one should worship. What if you thought about biblical counseling as actually a mechanism for reaching the nations, that you can use the skills that we talk about on Transformed, that I teach here at Masters, that you could take those to the nations and you don't have to quit your day job to do that? What I'm going to argue for you is that you can. Not only that you can, but I think you should really ask, why would I not? What would prevent me from doing that? Let me give you just a short testimonial. And before I do, I want to make sure to thank you all. Many of you have been so gracious to rate Transformed on the different podcast platforms that exist. Primarily, it's Apple Podcast and Spotify. If you haven't done so already, would you just take a second and rate us? It allows for others to get to see us and find the content that we're talking about here. So thank you for doing that. Testimonial time. I'm not a man who's great at reserving myself. When I think it's a worthy task, I go all in, and I try to live my life convictionally and let those convictions drive my actions. And 3 years ago, I was getting ready for a sermon at my church here in Santa Clarita. It was a Global Outreach Sunday, and I was researching the unreached people groups of the world, not the U.S., not Los Angeles, but the world. And I began to find through joshuaproject.net that the Bengali people in Bangladesh were the most unreached, and the Japanese were the second most unreached. Just unreached means like zero progress in the gospel. You have a homogenous society. There are basically no cultures breaking in. No churches. And with the Japanese, I found that you can have a religious worker visa. It's a safe country to go to. You don't have to worry about persecution. It's first world. I don't have to worry about drinking the water, so to speak. So I asked my wife, I said, hey, babe, like, why don't we consider doing missions in Japan? Like, let's just pray about it. she's always down. Like, she's so supportive. And she's like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Here goes Greg again. You know, like one of those things. This was 2024. And it turned into a missions trip in 2024 for us to go to Japan and to do what's called a survey trip, where you just meet with ministry leaders and you see what the opportunities are there. My wife and I brought our three sons. My youngest son at the time was 2. My older sons were, that would be roughly 13 and 9. The whole family went. We stayed there for 10 days in Tokyo. God confirmed and lit a fire within me to see that biblical counseling is a means of reaching the nations. It is a tool that you can use to serve churches and local nationals. And I want to light that fire with you and explore the opportunities and possibilities, perhaps things that you've never thought about. I want you to be able to now consider and help me to fill in, or let me help you fill in, rather, details of how it could actually work for your family. My people group that I'm talking to today are not those of you who are 25 and 26 and 27. Some of you are just getting your feet underneath you. And I commend you for that, and I want you to excel all the more in that. But I'm actually talking to those of you that are closer to 35, 40, 45. Your life's pretty stable. You could take time off if you needed. You could work remotely. I'm talking to you, and I want you to listen carefully for how you could use your gifts and biblical counseling to help reach the nations. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to open it up to Acts chapter 14. Acts 14 has this really interesting statement that's made about Paul's ministry. I'm not sure if you remember much about the first missionary journey, but it was one that was riddled with really, really difficult times. Basically, Paul goes to Galatia, southern Galatia, and gets persecuted all throughout the journey. As he makes it to a town called Lystra, the persecution that he faced was so great that he was stoned, and this is in verse 19 of chapter 14, stoned with rocks. They stoned him so badly, they thought he was dead, so they drug him outside of the city in verse 19. While the disciples stood around him, he rose up, he entered the city. The next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. Maybe he went unconscious. Maybe he was in such pain that he blacked out. Paul was most likely in his 40s. Which is the prime of your life. Sorry, on point. And as he is now recovering, he wakes up, stands up, goes to the next city, and that next city is Derbe. That would be the final stop in the first missionary journey. They would do a U-turn and go back up through Lystra, Iconium, and then Antioch, Pisidia. What it says here, Luke's narrative of Paul's ministry, and remember, Luke hasn't joined them yet, verse 22, he says, this is what Paul was doing, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many afflictions, we must enter the kingdom of God. Did you notice that phrase, strengthening the souls of the disciples? Part of Paul's missionary journey is that he sees his work is to strengthen believers. You know, there is an evangelistic aspect to missions, of course, but there's also one where you're strengthening the hand of those that are doing the work of ministry. In missions, that's called member care. I'm sure you've heard that term before. Some of you aren't super familiar with how missions agencies work. In missions agencies, they have individuals who are trained to be able to provide pastoral and some of it clinical and psychological care, more on that here in a second, to those that are doing the work of missions. So who cares for the missionary, so to speak? That is those within member care within the missions agency. What is interesting to note here is part of Paul's missionary journey is that he is committed to caring for disciples. It is those that are already followers of Christ. There's a niche in missions for this, strengthening the souls of disciples. Notice what else verse 22 says, encouraging them to continue in the faith. And saying, through many afflictions, we must enter the kingdom of God. You know, this is important to note that that is a significant ministry to care for those that are doing the work of ministry, that you're actually doing your best to keep them grounded in the word and refreshed in Jesus Christ. And as everyone knows with missions, you have to have a good sufferology. That is the end of verse 22, meaning your theology of suffering better be good, or you will flake out early on if you do not understand God's plan to use suffering to refine his people, glorify himself in your heart and the nations. You will flake out. Strengthening the souls of the disciples. You know, this isn't something that's totally unique to Paul. Judas and Silas do the same thing in Acts 15:32. Paul again does this in Syria and Cilicia in Acts 15:41. Timothy is said to do this for the Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Paul sends him up from Corinth to go care for the Thessalonians, come back down to Corinth, and report on what's happening with the Thessalonians. You know, this is member care. When we talk about missions, this is what member care does in missions, where it is actually attempting to strengthen not the local national, but those that are doing the work of missions. Have you ever thought about biblical counseling as a mechanism to strengthen the hands of those that are doing the work of missions? What if God isn't calling you to move to Japan or Bangladesh or somewhere in Africa, Europe, Asia, North or South America, but God is calling you to actually strengthen the hands of those that are doing that work? You know, that is a whole field called member care, where you use your gifts to care for people that are on the field and they are facing really difficult circumstances. I'm not sure if you're aware of how it works now, but I had researched some of the top missions agencies and their purpose statements for their member care. This is the International Mission Board, and my Southern Baptist friends listening to this, you know the International Mission Board. That is your missions agency. You have the North American Mission Board, Church Planning. You have the International Mission Board, IMB. That is the Southern Baptist arm. So we know that the Southern Baptists have a pretty decent system to help mobilize. It's where you're approved and funded. You don't do as much support raising on the Southern Baptist side. One of the things that are provided are member care professionals is what they call them. So the member care professional provides emotional and mental health support. Emotional and mental health support. Okay, let me put a pin in that. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to pick up with what do we mean by emotional and mental health support. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. You know, I think you can get kind of caught off guard with this episode because you hear missions at first and your brain goes to passports and plane tickets. But that's where our minds go when you think about missions. And what Greg is doing is slowing down and saying, no, wait a second. Who is strengthening the people who already went? So that's a different question. Honestly, that's a needed question because missionaries, they're not some other category of Christian. They get discouraged. They get tired. They still need people helping them to think clearly and biblically. So when Greg starts to talk about biblical counseling as a mechanism to reach the nations, although that opens up a whole nother category that I don't think we've even considered. This is good stuff, and I'm looking forward to the second half of this episode. This is why I appreciate Dr. Gifford so much. That's the kind of thing he does every week here on Transformed. It's the kind of thing he does every day at the Master's University, where he's also a professor. If you have a high school senior in your home, or maybe you know one, or you're thinking about going back to school yourself, I cannot recommend the Master's University highly enough. You can get the conversation started right now by visiting masters.edu/transformed. And while you're at it, make sure you go by and grab Fortis Plus. Download it. It's absolutely free of charge. Hundreds of hours of audio and video content available for you right now. Download it now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org. Now we're going to get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy, so much for your resources. We have been talking through this concept of biblical counseling and missions. And if you're overseas now, it might be better to think of like international biblical counseling and using your gifts to stay in your home country and care for ministry workers that are there. I left off by saying the IMB says their member care professionals are available to help with emotional and mental health needs. If you haven't read Lies My Therapist Told Me, that term mental health needs is very ambiguous. And what are your mental health needs? Well, that gets us back to mind renewal, mind transformation that comes through salvation and sanctification. Did you know that you could be a missionary who meets with someone who is trained in psychology and clinical practices, and you as a missionary go to get help for some of the deepest struggles that you have? And what do you hear? You hear warmed up Maslow. You hear a warmed over Carl Rogers theory or Freudianism. And instead of hearing the Bible, you're going to hear like this mishmash of wisdom, a couple of Proverbs, and mostly a secular therapeutic approach to member care. I am not saying that is what all IMB member care missionaries do, but I am saying that's what some of them do. And now you have to go to them. You're required by some missions agencies to go get your debrief after coming off the field or your onboarding, that you have to meet with member care professionals. And those member care professionals, not all of them are actually trained in the Bible. They're trained in secular therapeutic practices. OMF oversees missions. Ooh, I forget what the F stands for. They do a lot of work in Asia. James and Lisa Darty wrote an article about member care, and they said, member care helps members in times of trauma or when there are mental health struggles, when people feel isolated and or need someone to talk to. I don't know if you've ever considered that, but member care professionals are helping with mental health struggles. As a discerning listener to Transform, some of you are newer, some of you have been listening from day one, we know that those terms, mental health struggles, are very ambiguous, and we have to be discerning about what is a mental health struggle and mental health problem. So what if you as a missionary actually had marriage issues and you go to one of these member care specialists and they begin to say, hey, here's needs theory. You have certain needs and you need your spouse to speak your love language. And if they're going to do that, then your marriage can work. That needs theory can come in like a poison and it can begin to actually make things worse instead of helping us. This is an awkward place to be because now you as a missionary almost come across as insubordinate because you don't want to meet with your member care provider specialist, and they're giving you warmed over psychological counsel instead of counsel from the Bible. So what is the opportunity that we have here? Biblical counselors listening to this and those with aspirations to get trained. What if you started to fill that void? What if you started to say, hey, I'm going to get trained, and I'm going to do my best to know the Bible so that I can adequately care for people who are on the field. Yes, I do have experience in counseling for sure, and I am a good listener, and I have overseas experience totally. But the Bible will be the source and authority for how I help people. You know, there are really great challenges that go with being a missionary and living overseas. What if some of you said, you know what, I am going to get trained to help meet those needs? Guys, this is not a weird plug for the Master's University. We have a conviction here at the school that this is the next iteration of biblical counseling. My friend and colleague, Dr. Ernie Baker, is launching this fall a Master of Arts in biblical counseling with an emphasis in missions. We have partnered together with biblical counseling ministries worldwide for this exact purpose, that we would help those on the field be strengthened with the Word of God and those that are trained in the Word of God. Guys, this is so important to hear. We have missionaries that would like to receive biblical counseling, but have nowhere to go to receive that. Do they go to their sending church and now they're in this awkward spot where their sending church is both like counselor and cop? And they're concerned, can they go back to the field? And they can't be totally free to just talk with their sending church because there's barriers. It's like a senior pastor seeking counseling at his local church. It's just there's barriers that come with what can be said in that room. We have biblical counselors that have never thought that their gifts could be used in Latin America, Central America, Asia, Europe. What if we started to say, hey, look, let's get trained up in the Word of God. And let's go to these individuals who are working in some of the hardest places of the world, and let's keep them strengthened. I am not going to start churches. I am going to care for those that are starting churches. Boom shakalaka, let's do it. I'm there with you. Back to the story of Japan. Some of you that know me personally know that that conversation in 2024 actually awoke something in my household. My kids fell in love with Japan. My wife fell in love with Japan and the ministries in Japan. We are going back in the summer of 2026 to teach at Tokyo Baptist Church and Megumi Bible Church. We serve with the BCMW, the Biblical Counseling Ministries Worldwide team, as the field coordinators of training in Japan. What I saw is that there is an opportunity to strengthen the churches of Japan with biblical counseling. Guys, you know your love for a people group. Some of you come from that people group that's unreached with the gospel. What if we said, hey, look, get a Master of Arts in biblical counseling so that you don't mess things up when you get there. Get trained and help these individuals. And then show up on the field with skills that are beneficial for those that are there. Keep them refreshed so they can keep planting churches. They can keep running nonprofits. They can keep teaching English to the glory of God. What if we got a passion, an excitement, and a clear focus to say, God, give us grace to use biblical counseling to reach the nations. It's so doable. It's so doable. It's so easy. If you're interested in the programs at Masters, would you email me? My email is greg@transform.org. I would love to connect you with some of our admissions clerks here and to connect the dots to missions and how you could use your gifts. Now, that's member care. Member care. How do we care for those that are members? But there is one more aspect that is really important to note. Member care is strengthening the hand of the missionary worker. It's the Acts 14. We want to strengthen the souls of the disciples, those that are already converts. But I want to point out one more thing, and you may recall the way that the church at Ephesus was converted in Acts 19. It was this great conversion. It turns into mass revival, and through that mass revival, the church would be planted. The letter to the Ephesians would be written later on. Paul's second missionary journey into his third missionary journey, he spends much time in Ephesus. One of the things that he tells the Ephesian elders as he's preparing to leave them, he says, guys, I want you to remember this. This comes from Acts 20, verse 31. Therefore, be watchful, remembering that day and night for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who have been sanctified. Paul, for 3 years, ministers in Ephesus. 2.5 years, I think it's outside of the temple. And for 6 months, he's teaching in this temple. I think I have the math right on there. Don't quote me. What he sees are these mass conversions, and he goes from zero to converts to church that's planted to sending young Timothy back to help establish that church, and the pastoral epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy are to this church in Ephesus. What is Paul's ministry there? Evangelization, preaching the gospel, conversion, admonishment, instruction. This love that Paul has for them goes from you are converted, you are a new follower of Christ, you are a forming church, and even 3 years is a young church. And then now Paul's going to send young Timothy to go back and to establish, strengthen, and continue to encourage those in this church. What if you saw biblical counseling as a means of ministering to the local nationals, that you could show up in country with a skill to minister to those that are in the country already? I thought this was a beautiful statement. One mission agency says, from talking to a poverty-stricken mother about the truth of abortion to training national pastors on how to listen to their congregations, biblical counseling helps bring God's word into the lives of people who need it. What if the second prong to think through is that you could use your skills in biblical counseling overseas, that you show up with practical skills to bless those and use that as a means of evangelization? Guys, this is easy. Spurgeon said this, and this will be the quote I'll leave you with for today and pick up with next week. We ought not to put it on this footing. Can I prove that I ought to go? But this rather is the question. Can I prove that I ought not to go? When we read of heroic men who gave up all for Jesus, we're not merely to admire, but to imitate them. Guys, let this episode stir in you something that you know you should be listening to. That God is stirring in some of you a leading to go, to use your stability in America to reach the nations. I feel that with you, and I hope to partner with you as we use biblical counseling to strengthen the churches of the world. Let me pray for us. Lord, I pray for listeners today that this episode would jolt some, that there are those that have been in between looking for purpose and direction. They're coasting right now. Their jobs are fine. Their ministry is okay. Their families are stable. And yet they know that they were created for more. Help them to seek first your kingdom. Help them to use their jobs as bivocational opportunities to serve the nations, those that don't know you and those that are serving the nations, our missionaries abroad. Lord, may you use these episodes to paint in the details of what it could look like. Lord, I pray that some listeners would act and be obedient to your call in their life. Lord, help us not to be fearful or risk averse, but to trust that if you are calling us, you will make a way for it to happen. Lord, give us confidence in your character, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.